Sagt der Heilige Mishnah weiter, Masech des Chulin, Perik Aleph, Mishnah Zayin. HaTemet. What's Temet? Temet is a watery kind of wine. It's not the liquid that comes out of grapes. But it's more like a wine-flavored drink. What they would do is they would soak grape skins or soak grape seeds in water. And what happens is as follows. What does it taste like? First, it tastes like, you know, wine-flavored water. Later on, it begins to ferment, and it starts to taste a little bit like wine. Not high-quality wine, but wine. That's called temet. Zakta Mishnah, ha-temet. Here's the halacha for temet. Ad shalai hechmetz. Before it starts to ferment, ain't a nikach bekesef meiser. You can't buy it with meiser sheni money. Now remember, what's meiser sheni money? It's meiser that you have to separate and bring to Yerushalayim. If you can't bring it to Yerushalayim, you redeem it for money. When you come to Yerushalayim, you can take the money, and there are certain things you're allowed to buy. One of the things you can't buy with meiser sheni money is water. And being that this temet, before it ferments, despite its little flavor, being that at that point it's considered water, you can't buy it with meiser sheni money. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, upaitzeles a mikvah, and because it's like water, it passels a mikvah. What's a kosher a mikvah? So again, there's a shemizbruch when we learn the sechtes mikvahis. We'll know a little bit more. But right now, to make it as bekitzer as possible, a mikvah has to have 40 saw of naturally gathered water. It can't come in a bucket. It has to either be rainwater, or water that comes from under the ground. That's a mayan. It's even a higher level of a mikvah. Now, sometimes we toivel ourselves in water that's connected to rainwater, but we're not getting into that right now. The mikveh has to have 40 sov water. What if I have 40 sov water already, and then I pour in a container of water that I just passeled the mikveh? And the answer is no. If it already had 40 sov natural water, the additional water is not going to passel it. But if the mikveh had less than 40 sov water, and I added 3 loig of mayim she'uvin, then the mikveh is going to become pasul. Yeah, but then I added natural water. Doesn't make a difference. Then it rained the whole night. Doesn't make a difference. But let's say I had less than 40 sa, and someone by mistake, someone poured in fruit juice or wine. It's not going to pasul the mikveh unless it changes the appearance of the water, unless the color changes. So this temet, before it ferments, has a din of water. And if you have 3 lugin of this, poured into a mikveh, mayim she'uvim, just took a pail and poured it in, that was full of this temet, and there was no 40 saw at the time that he poured in, it passels the mikveh. However, mishahechmetz, once it fermented, now it has din of wine. May not be the best tasting wine, but it has din of wine. And nikach bekesef meiser, you can now purchase this with meiser sheni money, and it won't passel the mikveh unless it changes the color. So this is a little bit different than the previous Mishnayos. In the previous Mishnayos, we spoke about 2 different things that were opposites. What's tar by a kli yetz is tamei by a metal keli. What's tar by a metal keli is tamei by a kli yetz, and so on. Now we're talking about the same thing, but at different steps. And here's another example. Ha'achin ha'shutafin, brothers who are partners in their father's estate. An estate means the money that a father left to children before it was divided. Zakta Mishnah, kishechayavin bekalboin, where they're mechuyev in a kalbin, will soon explain what that is. Be'ez Hashem piturin mi meiser behema, der patra meiser behema. But kishechayavin b'meiser behema, when they're mechuyev in meiser behema, peturin min ha-kalbain, and they're pater on the kalbain. Now kalbain, this we should remember. From which mesechta? Mesechtes shkolim. Everyone had to bring a machza shekel every year to the base of Migdash. What did they do with the money? They used the money to buy the korbanos for the new year. We learned that in addition to the machza shekel, there was a surcharge, a little bit more. That was called a kolbein and had to be added to the machza shekel because sometimes the machza shekel coins didn't have enough silver in them. What's meiser behema? Behemas that are born within a certain time period. You have to line them up. You go through a narrow passageway. Every 10th behemah is meiser. It's a carbon meiser behemah. They put a die on the behemah to mark it and mark it as a carbon. We'll learn about that Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach when we get to Masechtas Bechayres. Only animals owned by a single person would be mechuyev in meiser behemah. Shutvin, partners that own a behemah, don't have the chiyev of meiser behemah. The Gemara in Bechayres dashes that from Psukim. With the kalbin, it works the other way around. If me and my friend get together, and we say, okay, we each have to bring a machzor shekel, we'll take a shekel shalem, a complete shekel, and half is for you, half is for me. So we're both yaitza archiv of machzor shekel. If we do that, then we have to give two kalbinis. Because we say, look, don't try to make things easier for yourself. Let everyone give a machzor shekel. Don't make things too complicated. There is a halach, however. Let's say a father says, okay, I'm giving the machzor shekel for my son or for someone in my town. There's a poor person. I don't know if he can afford the machzor shekel. I want to give for him. He does not have to add a kalbin. So again, if two people get together and they say, instead of each of us giving a machzor shekel, we're putting down one whole shekel. No. You're not getting away with the kalbin. But if one person wants to give a machzor shekel for someone else, whether it's a father for his child, or even a person for a stranger, he doesn't have to add a kalbin. So, Achan Ashutfin, we have over here brothers who are Ashutfin. The father passed away. He left money. He left behemoth, he left an estate. Kishachayavin bekolbein. Let's say what these brothers did was they already divided the Yerusha. But they decided instead of each one, you know, taking home his behemoth, doesn't have where to keep it, taking home his money, doesn't know exactly what to do with it, they're going to keep it over here together as if the father was alive. We're officially partners. So again, I want you to understand this. It was already divided. Everyone could take theirs home. But they decided that they're going to get together and be partners. Oh, so you're shutfin. When partners give machzor shekel together, it doesn't pop you from a kalbin. Just like stamas, if Reuven and Shimon get together and say, let's bring a whole shekel, it'll be a machzor shekel for each of us. They have to give two kalbinis. Well, same is true for these brothers. Each one's going to have to give this surcharge for his own machzor shekel. But for this reason, because they did it this way, after each one got his Yerusha, they turned around and said, you know what, let's just keep it in the father's estate. We'll all be partners. So paturim ma'aser behemah. The behemahs that are born after they were partners already, they didn't have to give ma'aser behemah on that. And ma'aser behemah doesn't go to a kohen. It's a carbon that the person brings, and part of it goes to the kohen, but it's different than regular mice. But either way, they don't have to do it. But, kishachiyavim b'maisa behema, let's say they didn't divide the Yerusha yet. It's still what's called tfusas habayis, the estate. So it's as if the father still owns it, even though he passed away, he still owns it till the brothers take it. So the behemas that are born now, this isn't a case of behemas that are born to partners. And therefore they have to give maisa behema. But, for that reason, peturim and akalbin. It's as if the father is giving the machzor shekel for his children, even though the father's not here anymore. The estate still belongs to the father. Oh, when a father gives for a son, or anyone gives for someone else, you don't have to add a kalbin. Now, it's interesting. Not even a single kalbin. Because the father's not giving for himself. He can't do mitzvahs anymore. Now he's getting the schar for his mitzvahs in Elam Haba. So it's as if he's only giving for someone else. And we already said, whatever you give for someone else, you don't have to add a kalbin for. See, stamazai, if I come and I say, this is my machzor shekel, and here's the one for my friend. So I have to give a kolbin for my own, just not for my friend. But in this case, it may sound a little funny, but it's like only for the friends. Because the money in the estate, before it's divided, it's as if it belongs still to the father. Okay, weiter. A girl, when she's very young, is called a ketana. Then she goes into a phase where she's called a naira. And afterwards, she's called a bagris, or some pronounce it bageres. A father, like you've learned in Chumash, can sell his daughter who is a ketana as an amah ho'evriya. She would serve her master for a maximum of 6 years, unless she is, and we're supposed to redeem her, or she was freed, or the master or his son married her, or the master passed away, or yovel came. Or she's no longer a ketana, she became a naira. Once she becomes a Naira, the father can no longer sell her. There is a halacha that if someone convinces or forces a Naira psula, he has to pay her father a knas of 50 shkalim. But the Torah HaKadosh says that's only if she's a Naira, not if she's a Ketana. So therefore, kol makom sheyesh mecher, whatever the father has a right to sell, that means she's a Ketana and knas. He wouldn't be entitled to the knas, according to the sheet of this mission, according to this Tana. V'chol makom sheyesh knas, wherever the father would be entitled to the knas, that's when she's a Naira. Ein le'mecher, he has no schus to sell her. Vayter says the Mishnah. Kol makom sheyesh meyun ein chalitza. V'chol makom sheyesh chalitza ein meyun. What's this? Can a mother accept kiddushin, or can a brother accept kiddushin on behalf of a ketana? Can a mother accept kiddushin on behalf of her daughter, or can a brother accept kiddushin on behalf of his sister? Again, only when she's a ketana. The answer is, the Rabbanan said that he can, but because it's not a real marriage midiraisa, she can say, I'm not happy with this. She can officially say, I don't want this. That's called meyun. And she does not need a get. But she can only do that when she's a ketana. What is chalitza? Chalitza means that her husband passed away without children. Her husband's brother can either be meyavim her, but if he doesn't want to take her as a wife, she's not freed until she receives chalitza. How is chalitza done? She takes a shoe, removes it from his foot. There's a whole process. But there's no chalitza for a ketana. So come makom sheyesh meyun, where she has a right to say no. No, I didn't want this marriage. I don't want this man that my mother married me off to, or my brother. That means she's still a ketana. Ein chalitza. She's too young for chalitza. V'chol makom sheyesh chalitza, if she's old enough to receive chalitza, to do the chalitza process, to free herself from her husband's brother, then ein meyun. And that age is too late for meyun. At this point, she would need a get. Zakta mishta v'aiter. Now we're talking about a place where the minig was to blow 6 tekiyos of the shofar on Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov. What was the cheshbon? Well, 2.5 hours before Shkiyas Achama, you would hear 3 blasts of the shofar. That was to let the people know, come on, stop your work, start getting ready. Near the time of Shkiyas Achama, they would blow another 3 kailas, one after the other. Kia, truat, kia. They're saying, enough with getting ready to stop. Now, stop. Zakta Mishnah. Kol makom sheyesh tkiya. Whenever Yom Tov and Shabbos are right next to each other, and they would blow shofar toward the end of the first day to let people know not to do malacha on the second day, ain havdalah. There's no havdalah at the end of that first day. Not on the kais and not during Shmon Esrei. Normally, Matzah Shabbos or Matzah Yom Tov, you make havdalah. In Shmon Esrei, you say Yatachin Antanu, you make havdalah on the kais. But here we have Yom Tov and Shabbos. And they would take a blow shofar even on Yom Tov, because there are certain malachas you're allowed to do on Yom Tov, but you can't do on Shabbos, so they wanted to warn the people. But that night, there's no havdalah. From Yom Tov into Shabbos, you don't make havdalah. But v'chol makom sheyesh havdalah, where you do make havdalah, and that would be if Shabbos comes first and then Yom Tov. So then we do make havdalah after Shabbos, because you're going from a higher kedusha Shabbos to a lesser kedusha on Yom Tov. But ain't kia, we don't blow on Shabbos. There's no blowing shofar to remind people Yom Tov is coming. So the Mishnah explains. Yom Tov shechal yisper of Shabbos. If Yom Tov comes first, Yom Tov is Friday and then Shabbos. So taiken, we blow shofar on Yom Tov before Shabbos comes in. There are certain malachis people are doing. They're not working on the fields that you're not allowed to do. But malachis, oichel nefesh, that could be cooking, getting ready for Shabbos, certain malachas you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. So we have to blow shofar to let them know Shabbos is coming. Maybe till now on Yom Tov you were able to cook certain things, carry certain things. Now you can't. But v'loy mavdil, there's no havdalah then. There's no havdalah between Yom Tov and Shabbos. Because the day that's coming in has more kedusha than the day that's coming out. But if it's Shabbos first and then Yom Tov, b'metzoy Shabbos, and mavdil, we do make havdalah. Part of the Kiddush, when it goes from Shabbos to Yom Tov, is Havdalah. Look it up in Amachzer. And that Havdalah is to separate between the Kiddush of Shabbos, which is much more strict, than the Kiddush of Yom Tov, which is easier, which is less. But for Leitaken, you don't blow Shofar on Shabbos before Yom Tov comes in to stop the people from doing Malacha, because they're not doing malacha. You can't do malacha on Shabbos. So at this point, the Mishnah continues, Ketzad Mevdil, and how do you make Havdalah between Yom Tov and Shabbos? When Yom Tov falls on Matzah Shabbos, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem HaMavdil, not Ben Kodesh L'Chayel, Chas V'Shalom. Because we're not coming into Chayel, we're coming into Yom Tov. Rather, we say, HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. That's how we finish off the bracha. Rabbi Daisa says, now you know how we finish off the bracha? We say, Baruch Atah Hashem Ben Kodesh Chomer L'Kodesh HaKal, that's separated from Shabbos, which has a greater Kiddusha, and we now enter into a lesser Kiddusha. But the halacha is not like Rav Daisa says about Tanura, because that's like a cheapening of the Yom Tov. We don't want to officially say, oh, now it's a lesser Kiddusha. That's not a covet for Yom Tov. So we say Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh, and we ourselves understand that Yom Tov has like a lesser kind of a Kiddusha. Okay, so let's chazer over a Shas Mishnah that discusses so many different inyanim. Let's see if we remember from the beginning. What's Temed? Remember what Temed is? It was a while back. Okay, Temed is a kind of a liquid that we make out of soaking either grape skin or grape seeds in water. Sometimes it's done with sediments of wine. So at the beginning, it has a little bit of a wine taste, but for all practical purposes, it's water. After a while, it begins to ferment, and it mamish has a din of wine, a low-quality wine, but still wine. So the Mishnah told us, before it ferments, it has a din of water. Can't buy water with Maaser Sheni money. But water will pass a mikveh, 3 lugan of water will pass a mikveh if it falls into a mikveh, if it's poured into a mikveh that doesn't yet have 40 saw of rainwater. On the other hand, once it ferments, it's the other way around. It has a din of wine, you can purchase it with Maaser Sheni money, but 3 lug of wine will not pass a mikveh, even if there's no 40 saw yet, unless it changes the color of the mikveh. Then we said, brothers that are partners in the Yerusha. So let's say after the Yerusha was divided, they decided to get together and be partners. They're not just each one taking their chelik and going home with it. It's very nice, brothers that don't get into a machloikis over the Yerusha and they want to be partners, but they're mechuyev in a kolbein, they have to add that surcharge to the machzor shekel. They're potter on Maaser Behemah from the animals that are born after they were partners, because there's no Maaser Behemah for partners. But, let's say they didn't divide the Yerusha yet, so they're not partners yet. It's like as if the father owns it. It's called Tfusas Habayis, an estate. So they're potter on the kolbein, because it's like the father is giving for them. And when you give for someone else, you don't have to add this surcharge. But, the father owns it. If technically the father owns it, they're not partners, then you're Mechuyev and Maaser Behemah. Then we said like this, wherever the father's right to sell his daughter as an Oma or Vriya, he's not entitled to the Knas. If he's entitled to the Knas, that means she's a Naira, she's no longer a Ktana, and he cannot sell her anymore. We said whenever she has a right to say, no, I don't like this husband, she goes out without a get, which would only be in the case of where her mother married her off to someone when she was a Ktana, or her brothers married her off to someone she's a Ktana. If she can say no, that means she's a Ktana, but there's no Chalitza. If her husband died without children, there's no Chalitza for a Ktana. If there is Chalitza, then it's too late for Mayim. She would require a get. And then we said as follows. We used to blow shofar 6 times on Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov, the first 3 to tell people, listen, start closing shop. The next 3 to let them know it's time to stop. What happens if it's Yom Tov after Shabbos or Shabbos after Yom Tov? So if it's Yom Tov first and then Shabbos, they would blow shofar. Even though people aren't working on the fields, but they're doing the things that you could do on Yom Tov, Eichel Nefesh. So you blow shofar to tell them to stop and get ready for Shabbos. But there's no Havdalah that night. From Yom Tov into Shabbos, there's no Havdalah. The other way around, when it's first Shabbos, then Yom Tov, so there's no blowing shofar. We don't blow shofar on Shabbos. And anyway, they're not doing Malacha. But we do make Havdalah from Shabbos to Yom Tov. We say Hamavlo ben Kodesh l'Kodesh, not ben Kodesh l'Chayel, Chas v'Shalom, Yom Tov is not Chayel. Reb Daisa says we say ben Kodesh Chamer l'Kodesh HaKal, from a more strict Kiddusha like Shabbos to an easier Kiddusha, which is called Yom Tov. But the Batanura told us that the Halacha is not like Reb Daisa, because it would be considered cheapening the Kiddusha of Yom Tov by officially saying it's an easier Kiddusha.